Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, it's the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network, and we're live. I am Wally.
Will T.
Will, we're live.
I know. It's amazing.
This, like, never happens.
I know it don't. This government shutdown, I guess, has been a blessing in disguise for us.
I know. We can do an early show and everything. This is just crazy, man. It's just crazy.
It is, man.
Like I said, we're the Urban Sports in the Eyes Radio Network. Usually, you know, I always run through this whole spiel, but we got to say, we got to rush time. So I'm not going through the whole spiel, but I will shout out my boy Darwin from Darwin Sports. Make sure you visit their podcast. It's Clutch Sports Radio. It's www.darwin-sports.com. Darwin's by himself, so I'm not trying to make it sound like there's more people than Darwin. But then also, shout out to my homeboys, Voice of the Fan. Their podcast show is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Voice of the Fan. The show is hosted by Alex, Jeff, and Adonis Jones. So make sure you check their podcast out. Will, go ahead and do what you got to do.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
First, it's the MLB playoffs. It has begun last week, right?
Yes.
So, I think the Dodgers knocked off the Braves yesterday?
Swept the Braves.
What a sweep. Braves won a game.
Oh, okay.
Braves took, I think, I want to say game, the Braves took game two with Greinke, and the Dodgers took the last two in L.A.
That's right, you're right.
So, but big game for Carl Crawford. Came up big, you know, hasn't been the postseason since being with the Rays. It looks like his old self. And I put a comment on Facebook about having Kershaw pitch on 3 days rest. It seems like it worked for him. He only gave up two runs, and Dodgers won the series.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I watched it. Actually, I watched Juan Uribe, hit the home run against the, I want to say his name's Carpenter. Carpenter, the reliever for the Braves. It was a big shot. He was supposed to bunt because what's the young kid for the Dodgers that everybody loves?
Yeah, Puig.
Puig. Okay, there you go. Puig was on second. Uribe was supposed to lay down a bunt, and he ended up hitting a home run.
Couldn't get it down. Tried twice.
Ended up hitting a home run. So, Dodgers was a good series. I saw Kershaw pitch game one. Was lights out. Saw Greinke. Greinke looked good in game two. The Braves had some big hits towards the middle innings, and took that game, and I saw a little bit of game two, but pretty much game three, but game three was a blowout.
Okay. So yeah, I ended up turning off the Monday Night Football game for a little bit, watched some of the Braves-Dodgers game. So it was exciting game.
The Jets game?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. I love that game.
I know you do.
Anyway, I know Ray hates that game, though.
Yeah, he's hating the season.
I know he is. Let's go down. Let's go on to another series. Pirates versus Cardinals. Game five will be Wednesday, which is tomorrow. It should be between, I think the pitching lineup is Cole versus Adam Wainwright.
Yeah, the Pirates pulled A.J. Burnett, who was the game one starter, because he has an ERA, I believe, of 7. And everyone knows, if you follow A.J. Burnett, you know that in high-pressure situations, he isn't clutch. He doesn't have the clutch gene. He doesn't come through. So they're going with the rookie Cole, who has an ERA of 1.5.
Yeah, I like Cole. It's part of the future for the Pirates pitching staff. I believe it was the right decision to make. I like A.J. Burnett. I think he has great stuff. He throws about 93, 94. He was better when he was younger, and has a 6 slider. And he has great movement on his pitches. But Cole is the future, and the matchup with Wainwright just shows the confidence that the Pirates have in Cole to go against Adam Wainwright, who is one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Real quick, who you got?
I'm rooting for the Pirates. I think the story's too real for me. We've seen the Cardinals in the postseason a number of times. It gets old. But you want to see a team like the Pirates move on, a team with history. You know, the Pirates haven't been relevant, in my opinion. Yeah, we can say Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla back in the day, but let's go even further with Roberto Clemente. We haven't seen the Pirates this relevant in such a long time. So I would love to see the Pirates win. I like McCutchen. He's a player that you root for, a guy who stayed with an organization who was struggling, and he's a superstar talent. And they have a bunch of good young players too, as well, with Alvarez, who's having a great series, and you got Marlon Byrd, who is now again, relevant in baseball. So I like what the Pirates are doing.
Okay, I'm going against you. I'm actually going with the St. Louis Cardinals because I would love to see Cardinals versus Dodgers in the NLCS.
Okay.
And hopefully the Dodgers pull it out.
What's the reason for that, though?
I just think offensively it's a little bit more exciting to me. Pittsburgh, they have bats in the lineup. They have speed. They have good pitching. But what St. Louis has more abundance than Pittsburgh is more bigger bats. So I'm excited for a potential Cardinals versus Dodgers in LCS.
Okay. Well, let's move down to the the ALDS within the Sox and Rays. Right now the Rays are down 2-1 to the Red Sox. They just pulled off a big victory, a walk-off home run by their catcher Lebatone. I think that's how you say it. So they're down 2-1 right now. I believe game 4 is tonight or this afternoon. I believe it's tonight. Let's talk about that series real quick. If any team, Rays were down 2-0 before they took that game last night. If any team to me can come back from a 2-0 deficit, it's the Rays, just because of the pitching staff they do have. They have about 4 to 5 good pitchers. So if a pitcher struggles within the early innings, they still have the pitchers within their staff to maybe come in as relievers to kind of dominate the game if they sense trouble. I just feel like the Braves are, if any team is right now this season of the MLB playoffs, if any team was to come back from a 2-0 deficit, it would be the Braves. It would be the Rays, excuse me.
Something must be wrong because we actually agree on something, and I totally agree with you. I think that if the Rays win this game, I think that the Rays would take the series, but just for the simple reasons that you stated, and also they have the mad scientist Joe Maddon on the bench,
exactly,
who's able to devise a plan against any batter in any situation. It's like he has a stat machine in his head. He knows what pitchers are good in what situations. He knows what hitters he's able to get out with ground balls, their probability of them popping up. So Boston, they have to come
ground
through.
Ground balls popping up.
Ground balls popping up. Pause.
Exactly. <son. laughs>
No homo. You threw me off track with that one. But,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, I definitely. If Tampa Bay comes through tonight and wins, I think Boston is in trouble of losing this game in 5.
Yeah, I like the matchup.
Losing the series, excuse me.
The series,
me.
I got you. I like the matchup. You got PV versus Helixson. I like Helixson. It's good, a great changeup. So if he can pitch to his capability, and as a pitcher, it's a young pitcher that's, you know, I think leaning towards his prime. If he can, you know, pitch to his capability, PV back in the day was a great pitcher, but obviously, you know, as age comes, you lose some of your stuff. So this gives the Rays an opportunity to take this to game 5, and then you can go any which way. You can go with obviously you would think Price for game 5, or maybe even have Matt Moore. So the Rays have an abundance of possibilities to go to in game 5. But that's move down to pregame, and then another series within the ALDS. Oakland versus the Tigers. Right now, Oakland is up 2-1 in the series to the Tigers. I've been very disappointed with the Tigers. I will not lie. I'm disappointed in Cabrera, who I've put out there to be the MVP of the AL, and Prince Fielder. I think combined have one RBI between the two. No home runs. It's amazing. And we're talking about, to me, when a pitcher goes to the middle of the order and you see Cabrera and Prince Fielder, that produces fear. And for these guys to be hitting 250 and one RBI between the two is ridiculous.
Yeah, I actually like the Tigers. I liked the Tigers to take this series, but it's looking more and more as every day go past that Oakland might take this series. Oakland, much like they've had more success than the Pittsburgh Pirates have, but they're kind of, both franchises are kind of, you know.
Yeah, you look at them as a franchise and that do it their that does it their way.
Yeah, like Pittsburgh, you know, they use the farm system.
Yeah.
They don't really pay a lot of big. They aren't a major market team. Don't pay a lot of big bucks for players. So you have that storyline going also. But much like yourself, I've been very disappointed in Cabrera and Prince Fielder. And also, you would think with probably the two best two of the best pitchers in the NL with AL with Scherzer and Verlander. You would think this series would be over by
now. Well, I mean, to give credit with credits, dude, those two pitched well. Verlander didn't give up a run, and Scherzer didn't give up a run, I believe. So Scherzer, Scherzer won his game. They won his game, excuse me. So really, it's just the offense not stepping up. I mean, when you look at Oakland, you're not looking at a powerhouse offensively. Obviously, you see Donaldson probably playing at should be considered for an MVP, the third baseman, and also the guy in the home run con Cespedes. You think of these guys, and you're like, okay, they have a little power. But when you look at the Tigers, we're talking about Cabrera, Fielder, Martinez, Jackson, even Avila, the catcher. There's so many good offensive players. Options. Exactly. So it just makes any sense to me. And Torrey Hunter as well. So there's so many good offensive players, and for this team not to dominate this series is ridiculous. I know good pitching beats good hitting, but we're talking about high quality hitters. So maybe I'm hoping not, well, I wanted to go five. I'm hoping that maybe had to decline the call. Excuse me. Sorry.
Hey, things happen.
But I'm hoping that, because I want to see a five. I want a series to go to five. I'm hoping that the series goes to five. I'm hoping that Cabrera and Fielder step up.
Yeah. Likewise.
Okay. Anyway, let's go down to basketball. Let's go to basketball now in the pregame. The Washington Wizards' first preseason game is tonight against the Nets.
Really not interested. Wait. No, I'm just not one of those people that get up for preseason basketball. You know, like some people get up or don't get up for preseason NFL football. I don't get up for NBA preseason basketball. I am excited when the season starts around Halloween time. So
why Halloween time?
No, that's when the season starts.
Oh, you're excited. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just excited. I'm just you know, like some people don't pay attention to the NBA until after March Madness. But me, once you know the first tip off around Halloween starts, I'm excited for it. So. But I'm hoping I'll probably check the game out. I want to see how Otto Porter looks in real live NBA action.
That's the excitement. He's a Hoya. You got to be excited to see Otto Porter.
But I saw enough of him during the summer league.
Summer league is crap, man. You can't really go off summer league.
Okay. I mean,
what you think summer league? I'm going to say one more time. Kwame Brown had an awesome summer league.
You're right.
And we talk about Kwame Brown in what fact? In what way?
But you would think that Otto Porter being the number 3 overall pick, he would at least show he's an efficient player in summer league. He showed none of that during the summer league. A lot of turning over the ball.
He needs to play with his guys. He's going to play with
Wall. He's going to play Bradley Beal. Seraphin. Nene.
Nene. I'm thinking about Mecca Okafor. Excuse me. He's out.
And Jan Vesely.
He actually had a decent summer league.
He did.
What does that mean exactly? That's my point. So
maybe that translates into...
No, it doesn't translate to him still being a bum.
I mean, maybe it does for the Wizards.
Well, like, for Otto Porter, he won't have to do the things they wanted him to do in summer league. In summer league, they wanted him to, you know, dribble the ball and do other things. And George, that's not his game. He's not a guy who can go ISO. That's going to be John Wall setting him up. It's going to be John Wall setting him up pretty much. And... just like when we saw how Bradley Beal struggled with John Wall out, you know, when John Wall was there, he looked better.
Well, I wouldn't say Bradley Beal struggled, his game improved. Statistically, he improved.
He looked like an average NBA player. When John Wall got there, then people started seeing promise out of Bradley Beal. Now, Otto Porter's the same way to me. You won't put Otto Porter in ISO situations. You're the best thing for Otto Porter, if anything, you'll have him in a low block and then in a triple threat position and then for him to do damage, you know, so he can see the court and either he can, you know, shoot over his defender or even pass the ball out of that position. So Otto Porter will be in a position to succeed rather than in summer league. I feel like it's an experiment type of thing where we want to see if Otto Porter can do taking this man one-on-one, things of that sort. So that's not, okay. Which is not his game.
I mean, we'll see. But one thing that will be of note, it will be the coaching debut for Jason Kidd with the Nets.
Yeah,
for the Brooklyn Nets. So we'll see how he manages the game, you know, what type of sets he runs, see if he commands the bench as with his first preseason NBA coaching gig,
which I will say Jason Kidd has a dominant team that he gets to coach, you know, almost reminds me a little bit, honestly, obviously the Doc Rivers had more experience as a head coach, but I feel like he's in a good situation where, like a Doc Rivers, when he got Paul Pierce and he already had Paul Pierce, but when they traded for Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, having those players to make him look like a better coach, excuse me. So Jason Kidd's in that same situation. His team is stocked. It's like an all-star team.
Yeah, but obviously this Billy King and the owner for the Nets came out and said that this is a win now. This is our window is now. So obviously he won't have time to transition and learn on the jobs. They have to come out starting fast.
Well, it's amazing. You get to see two different ends of the spectrum. You have a team that's trying to get to a particular level. I mean, terms just a team that's trying to make the playoffs.
And the Wizards.
And the Wizards. And you have on the other side, you have a team that's aiming for a championship. So,
it'll be. I'll guarantee you that both franchises handle this preseason game totally different.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, I believe in Jason Kidd. He's a guy who idolizes Magic Johnson, so I believe in Jason Kidd. Anyway, down to pregame, the Chicago Bulls, Derrick Rose. Missed all of last season, sitting it out due to recovering from his ACL injury. Had two preseason games already. How do you think he looked?
He looked great. He looks like he's running and cutting the way he did pre-injury. He looks like he's exploding off of that leg the way he did pre-injury. I'm excited to see how it transitions to that first night when they start against two-time defending champion Miami Heat. And I think that this Chicago Bulls team will come out hungry. They have a great coach in Tom Thibodeau, and now they have their franchise player back, the guy who can not only score but create and make the game a little bit easier for everyone around him.
Yeah, I like Derrick Rose. I like how Derrick Rose looked. Excuse me. Always been a fan of Derrick Rose. I like his humility. The guy's humble. The guy's just one of the fine players in the NBA. And I'm glad that he did the right. I'm glad what he did for his injury. He sat out the whole season. I'm always a fan of people not messing up their money. Your money is very important to you. Never ever sacrifice that money. And he did not. And people who complained about it, so why Derrick Rose? He a punk. He should have came back. Made no sense. Like, those are the same individuals who compared Derrick Rose to Iman Shumpert. Iman Shumpert is who, and Derrick Rose is what. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I'm sorry. That's life. All right. If Derrick Rose came back early and jacked his knee up, people would be like, oh my God, they would feel so bad because they understand that this dude is worth that much money. If Iman Shumpert, who came back, looked healthy, if he had tore his knee up again, what would we all say? Dang, poor Iman Shumpert. That's it. It wouldn't be like, dang, the NBA just missed out on Derrick Rose. That's how Derrick Rose is, and he understands his money. And what I saw from him against from the highlights, I didn't watch the game, some of the highlights from the Pacers and Grizzlies, the Grizzlies game. He looked healthy. He had that burst. He had the acceleration. He had that herky jerky motion in the air. He had all of that. So I'm a fan of Derrick Rose. So I'm glad to see him look at about 100% to me.
Yeah, I'm excited that he's back at 100%. This only makes the Eastern Conference a lot more compelling, a lot more exciting, and more competition for the Miami Heat.
Still needs help though. Sorry.
Yeah, he needs
He
still needs help, but they'll definitely be an improved team.
All right. More down the pregame. Let's go to college football. Last Saturday, the Terps, who I thought would compete with the Florida State Seminoles, did not.
They competed for a series when it was 0-0.
63-0. I'm sorry. What ranked team loses 63-0? You could put a MEAC team out there, and they would have put them probably a touchdown.
Exactly. You could have put a Morgan State out there or FAMU. They would have scored 7 points at least. Did you see Jameis Winston when he eluded the sack and threw that the pass in the corner of the end zone? Did you watch the game?
I watched the game. I watched the first half. The first half was 21-0. So I saw when it was I guess you wouldn't call that competitive.
When they had hope.
When they had hope, yeah, exactly. You saw the hit that the quarterback, that late hit the quarterback took?
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. The referee didn't call anything, but that was ridiculous though.
It was.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, they playing with men. They're not playing UConn. I mean, I saw that UConn. Who they beat? Was it UConn?
Temple.
Yeah. No, it was UConn.
They beat UConn
and whoever, some other sorry team. So yeah, West Virginia. There you go, West Virginia. You're playing against men.
Yeah,
you're not playing against boys. You're playing against men. And
meat and potatoes versus tofu.
I'm telling you, but yeah, oh man, Jameis Winston. That boy's something special.
He is. He's something special. He's like a, to me, he reminds me of his escapability and his command in the pocket reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, he's getting that comparison a lot now. I've heard that. I've heard Big Ben, and I've heard Steve McNair, too.
That's two favorable comparisons for him. You know, I think he's a redshirt freshman, so he's in his second year, sophomore.
Yeah.
So he's definitely, to me, when it comes to the Heisman Trophy race, it's between Jameis Winston, Tommy Bridgewater, and
I think Bridgewater's not going to get it because of where he
and
plays.
Boyd.
I think yeah,
Taj Boyd. Boyd. I think those three are probably like the top three front runners.
You may want to take out Bridgewater. They said the kid from Oregon too may be up there. I can't say his name. The quarterback for Oregon.
Yeah, I think Bridgewater. He'll. I think he'll be in the top five. But I don't. I mean, I think he'll be one of the guys that's brought to New York.
I agree.
But ultimately, will he win? No, because A, he won't have that signature win. And he won't have any in the strength of his schedule.
And which is not his fault. Louisville tried, I believe, Louisville tried to have quality teams on their schedule, and none of them took them on. So no team took them on, excuse me. So, yeah, he's not going to get it because of that fact.
But he'll definitely be a top two pick in the NFL
He don't have
draft.
To worry about that again. Let's go back to what I was talking about earlier about Derrick Rose. Don't worry about the Heisman. Because it ain't about money. Unless you pawn that thing, it ain't about money. You won't get your money. Clowney, maybe first or second. Talk about Clowney real quick.
I don't think Clowney's going to. Just because of the way he. Well, he pulled himself out of the game this past Saturday. I guess what Davian Clowney is doing, someone's gotten in his ear saying, look, you may be affecting your draft status the way you're playing because you aren't producing at the level you produced at last year, despite being doubled and triple teamed. But. He decided to pull himself out because of what you alluded to, the money.
Yes.
So, he'll still be one of the top two or three players selected in the NFL draft. He just won't be going to New York for a Heisman Trophy vote, which who cares?
Hey, who cares? Exactly. Who cares? Lattimore tore blew his knee out. And Lattimore, I mean, though he got drafted, but he ruined his money.
Yeah.
And that was a teammate of his. Why chance?
That may be the reason why he pulled himself out.
Why even chancing?
He may have like a slight injury. He was like, look, I'm not going to exacerbate the situation and mess up my money like Marcus Lattimore.
Yeah, I mean honestly, yeah, we know that the NFL kind of screwed rookies with the money situation. Now changed it. Now they don't get as much paid or guaranteed coming out. You know, once they enter the, once they're drafted, they're not making that same amount like maybe a Sam Bradford or. Matthew Stafford, Sue, and folks of that nature. But still, you messing up my first round money. I'm a first round grade. Screw that. I'm top five. I'm number one.
I'm a once in a generation defensive player.
Yeah, you ain't messing up my money. You crazy. You lost your damn mind. You gonna mess up my money.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know what I mean? Anyway, seems like we're about to commercial break.
Commercial break.
All right, we come back from commercial break. You know what week this is. We don't really got to hesitate. It's Cowboy Redskins week, and it's the Urban Sports and the Israel Network live.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
on, I'm feeling it. Stop blowing my buzz, quit killing it. So buy another round and try to shut us down. About an hour ago, but we still in this.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
Yeah, we love you too, Scarlett Diggs. What's good?
What's going on, baby?
Anyway, like I said, it's the Urban Sports Center Israel Network, and we're on live.
All right. Before we get to the biggest week in Washington, which is Cowboy Week, one of the two biggest weeks, which is Cowboy Week, we got a couple of reads we got to do. You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website at www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email Wally at urbansports@eyesradio.com.
Always email Wally.
Yeah, it's the truth. I don't check the email.
I hear you. Go ahead, man. Keep preaching.
You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steelers fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steelers fan.
Well, it's like Will said, it's the biggest time of the year. I mean,
this is the second biggest week of the football season for Redskins fans. The first biggest is when the Cowboys come to town.
Exactly.
The second biggest is when the Redskins play the Cowboys in Jerryland.
Exactly. And you know, this.
Excuse me, did I say Redskins? I meant Washington football team.
I got you. Washington football team.
Washington football team.
We want to talk about President Obama because he had some comments about my team where he needs to be worried about something else. But we'll talk about that later. Anyway. This is an important week for me because this represents so much, you know. After we lost to the Eagles and the Cowboys, you know, were winning games. They beat the Giants. Then they lost. Then they won. Then they lost. You know the pattern. They never really stay consistent. Cowboy fans across, you know, all spectrums of the DMV have continuously mocked my Redskins, and I've gotten from all across the world. I'm talking about like Instagram pictures, comments on Facebook, you know, some ignorant stuff, RG3, you know, leg injuries, things of that sort. And this is the time. Now it's time. Y'all just got beat by Denver because Tony Romo was Tony Romo. Now you guys see us. I know you're scared because it's prime time. RG3 in Texas. A whole bye week to focus on one team. I don't care. Usually good coaches do well when you give them a whole week to concentrate on one team. So basically, there's 2 weeks to concentrate on one team. I'm excited. This means a lot to me. Redskin Cowboy Week is all about going to work, putting on that Redskin hat. You know, Cowboy fans wearing their Cowboys attire, and you see Cowboy cars, stars on cars and things of that sort. This is it for me. And this is bragging rights. You know, obviously bandwagon fans out here, because the Cowboy fans are bandwagon fans. They're bandwagon fans. Where were they at 1-15, son? When we were kids. Where were they at, Will? I'm talking about our age, not the older individual. Our age. Where were they at?
I don't know.
Exactly. As soon as they got Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman, and they, you know, they started. Well, they always had it when they were 1-15. But as soon as they Jimmy Johnson built a winning culture, then they started coming out. So it's okay. I'm for Cowboy fans to come out here. Papa John's, baby. Papa John's, $9.99 pizzas. Double toppings when the Redskins win. Courtesy of Wally Olakinzo.
So what you're saying is you're going to buy pizzas for everyone?
No. It's double. Am I buying for them? No, yeah. I said courtesy. I didn't say come on my check. You crazy? I'm going to shut down. What are you talking about?
I just want to. Listen, I don't want you misrepresenting yourself on this radio. Our listeners, all two of them, thinking that you're going to buy
all
a Papa.
Have you seen all two? No. We don't get two, son. We big time now.
Oh, we are?
We big time. Have you seen the site, son?
Of course not.
Exactly. That's what you said. All two of them. Son, now we got like 80 hits off the. The last show had 100 on the show before.
Oh man, we coming up.
Yeah, son. Hey, two listeners. Are you crazy? You lost your mind.
I'm just being facetious.
I know. I see.
Okay, but let me ask you a question.
SAT word, man. You can't be using SAT words for me, man.
No, let me ask you a question about this game.
Yeah, go ahead.
We all know that at 0-3, the prior week, the game against Oakland was big. It was kind of this is your make or break for your season. Would you go as far to say that this game is bigger than the Oakland game? Because if you think about it, if the Redskins win, they're 2-3. Dallas will be what, 2-4? If I'm not mistaken, 2-4. The Eagles play Tampa Bay, so that may be a win, may not be a win for the Eagles. And the Giants at 0-5. So would you say this is a bigger game than not because it's Dallas, but just in the overall scheme of the NFC East and their schedule? Do you think this is a bigger game than the previous week against Oakland?
Hold on before I answer that question. My boy Alex, who listened to the show, what's up, Alex, man? Said, yo, I heard you said you buying pizzas. He said, I'm down, son.
I told you. I didn't want you misrepresenting yourself on this radio.
Yeah, it's a recession for me, man. It's a recession. All right. No, government shutdown. People like Boehner screwing me. Screwing me, man.
Not Boehner. It's everyone.
Oh, people like Boehner, a punk.
We're not going to discuss politics on the show.
Anyway, no, this game is bigger. What this game represents to me is it's bigger because of the Cowboys. It's bigger because
I said taking out that it's Dallas Cowboys. Just looking in the grand scheme of how things are shaping up in the NFC.
Because
East.
You need to. It's a division game. Okay. Let's put it that way. It's a division game, and chances are, you know, let's put it this way. The Nick Foles is playing against Tampa. So there's a chance that, you know, the Eagles can lose that game.
But Nick Foles beat Tampa Bay last year.
Yeah, but it's not. Darrelle Revis isn't on this side.
Darrelle Revis isn't the same Revis.
Well, he'll allow them to do something. He's going to allow them to do other things defensively. And that Eagles defense isn't the same, too, at the same time.
The Eagles defense is terrible.
Exactly. So you're going to have – and he's going on the road. So Nick Foles is going on the road to Tampa. Like Bill says, it's still a winnable game for the Eagles. It is a winnable game for the Eagles. But still, you can see the Eagles losing that game. So this game could be for first. So it's big on that front alone. I don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about it just being the Cowboys. The Cowboys and being on prime time makes it big. It's on its own right. But adding that element itself, yeah, this game is bigger than the Raiders game to me. The Raiders was to save the season. This game, every game to me gets bigger. Okay. Let me put it that way. Every game from now on gets bigger.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question. Because, you know, Dallas, they played offensively. They played so great last week against Denver. The defense was porous, just as was Denver's defense. Do you think Dallas is more vulnerable or less vulnerable coming off of that loss? Because you got to – put it in this perspective. Yeah, sure. Tony Romo had probably the game of his ages, 506 yards, what, like five touchdown passes. Excuse me. But in the last minutes, he threw that pick, that devastating pick. Our listeners will probably hear the ice cream truck in the background. We heard with it. Just try to block that out. Listen to what we're saying to y'all.
Deal with this, please, man.
Do you think they're more vulnerable or less vulnerable coming off that loss?
I think there's a little confidence. They're gonna have a little confidence coming to this game. The defense probably doesn't, but the offense should have a little confidence. Well, I'll put it this way: if the game is tight, that's when it plays its part. If the game is tight, we'll see how Romo starts to think. You know, honestly, it's a pattern. We see a pattern with Tony Romo. But due to the fact it just happened, like he made that mistake with the interception, and interception for Denver to win the game. Now, if it comes to this point, the Redskins are up, say up three, and he has a drive to tie or win the game or whatever. He's going to have that in his mind.
So
it's going to play a part.
So what you're saying is not only coming off of that Week 17 loss last year where he threw that pick to Rob Jackson, yeah, then he has to deal with the interception he threw last week.
Yeah.
So it's a combination that could potentially screw with Tony Romo's head if the game is tight in the fourth quarter.
And we just be real, most 9 times out of 10, regardless of the records, the Redskins Cowboy games are typically close.
Yeah, you all typically right. Got to throw the window, yeah, the records out of the
so
window.
So we both know. I mean, though we do know the Redskins defense is struggling, one of the worst defenses in the NFL. At the same time, when these two teams play, because I've seen seasons when our defense was horrible when we played the Cowboys. You were like, wow, where was this at the whole season? You know, so something about this rivalry just sparks up everything. Everything is improved. So the main thing is, if Romo is in a situation again where he was in last week, or like you said, in week 17, yeah, he's going to think something. That's just in his nature. We see it. We see it every time. We see him every time in the fourth quarter. It's nothing different.
All right, you brought up an interesting point. Washington football team's defense. Tony Romo coming off of a 506-yard game, 5 touchdowns. Murray ran the ball, big gaping holes. As a fan, is that your number one concern coming to this game because of how the Dallas Cowboys defense played last week?
Murray?
No, just the pass defense, specifically the pass defense of the Washington football team.
The only person I'm concerned about, or only element I'm concerned about for the Dallas Cowboys, number 88.
Dez.
I'm scared of Dez, man.
Not Witten?
I'm because scared of Dez, man.
No, I'm just for the simple fact that, you know, Witten runs a lot of seam routes. London Fletcher Baker isn't as athletic as he used to be. You know, yeah. He's still mentally, he's seeing, sees everything. He's playing the game just as sharp from a mental standpoint. But physically, running down that scene with a tight end like Witten, who isn't the fastest, but is crafty and knows how to get himself open. And is 6'5", and London Fletcher is like 5'11", 5'9". I don't know how tall he is. You don't think that poses a matchup problem for the Redskins?
I didn't say he wasn't a threat. I never said Witten wasn't a threat.
Well, excuse me. You don't think he's as scary or no. As dynamic a component of
no.
The game plan?
No, he's a tight end.
Okay.
All right, I just don't – he's a tight end. I don't look at tight ends as dominated individuals. I mean, don't get wrong. I think he's going to do – he can do his damage. I'm not saying he's not going to do damage. So don't I'll put that out there. Like, even you watched the game last night with the Atlanta Falcons. Tony Gonzalez is a beast. One of the best tight ends – well, the best tight end to ever do it, to me, in my opinion. He's uncheckable to me. I mean, but at the same time, the impact player on that team is Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if I go over here to the Cowboys, Jason Witten's one of the best tight ends to ever do it. I can say that as a Redskin fan, I'm real. But the impact player, the guy that can make your life a living hell, is number 88. And that's just the fact. Dez is that dude. When he catches the ball, he's a threat to go all the way. He can take a 5-yard pass and take it all the way. He can jump over a defender. He can, you know, he's a touchdown maker. He's just shown what he's always been able to do. The kid's been doing it since Oklahoma State. There ain't nothing new. He just needs the ball to be thrown his direction, and he's doing what he needs to do. So yeah, Dez scares me. Now I'll give. My side, some credit. D'Angelo Hall has done a great job on Dez Bryant for the last some odd years. He's done a good job on Dez. He's rattled him. He's frustrated Dez, you know, with his trash talking and even his covering him. So,
probably asked him a question like, "Is your mom a prostitute?"
Dang, tough.
I'm just saying he might have asked him that.
He could have. I'm not going to deny he could have. But at the same time, I mean, he frustrates Dez some way. He may ask him that. He may have asked him that question. I don't know.
I wonder, do you ever think, you know, kind of off subject, do you think, you know, cornerbacks, wide receivers talk a lot of trash. Do you think anybody ever asked him that question to get inside his head?
Yeah, I'm sure of it. I would have.
Yeah, I would have too.
I mean, I play basketball.
I'm pretty sure Cortland Finnegan, if you ever went against him, probably asked
him.
Yeah,
I'm sure he has. But anyway, real quick. Right,
I wanted to progress the conversation along. Coming off the bye week. You stated earlier that's a good thing because you, as the coaching staff, they have one opponent to focus on only. Also coming off the bye week, I think this would be the ninth month for Robert Griffin III for his knee injury. So that's kind of, to me, that's two positives for the Redskins coming into this game. And also, you know, Tony Romo's psyche after this past game against Denver, specifically throwing that late fourth quarter touchdown. Interception, excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you think that these three things combined will get the Redskins an advantage?
I think the main advantage, in my opinion, is just having 2 weeks to just to prepare for the Dallas Cowboys. I'll give this Redskin team hope in this regard, because I'm a Redskin fan. You know, I believe we're going to win. But at the same time, this is what I would say, is that this Dallas Cowboys defense is very vulnerable. And if you can give Shanahan 2 weeks to prepare for this defense, we should be able to do some things.
Okay.
That's my opinion. That's where I see the bye week as a big advantage. I'm not going to speak of offensively because I think the Cowboys have weapons. I mean, our defense is going to have to step up. All right, and we are blessed to get back Rob Jackson, a guy who made plays last season, Jarvis Jenkins. So we'll have these guys back in the fold, and it's going to allow us to do some things. Rob Jackson back, we can put Arakpo his hands on the dirt, have Jackson play more coverage. Or maybe on third downs and have Arakpo just straight going for it.
All right, speaking of Arakpo, you actually wrote a blog on him, I think, earlier this week?
Yeah, I wrote one. It came out last. Matter of fact, it was out yesterday.
Okay.
It was out yesterday.
Tell the people about it.
Yeah, it's about a topic we discussed last week. I feel like the unfair criticism that Brian Arakpo has, that's the title of it, the unfair criticism of Brian Arakpo. And it's on www.urbansportscene.blogspot.com. That's where we have our blogs at. That's our first of
many
of
blogs.
Year.
I'm actually going to write a blog. no, seriously, I'm going to write a blog on the conversation on the name change of the Redskins.
That's cool, man. That's good. I hate that already.
what?
Right. Hey. But anyway, it's about how fans to me to use a song of which a boxer made up, Roy Jones Jr. Y'all must have forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like after Arakpo, when he got hurt for those two seasons, we forgot how dominant. Well, I don't say dominant, but how good of a pass rusher he was. We had when he put full seasons in the NFL, a guy who saw double teams and put pressure. So now with Ryan Kerrigan, it's going to be easier for him to even put more pressure because he's not going to get double teamed as much. And honestly, I put this on the blog, it's not a coincidence that Ryan Kerrigan has, probably on range to have his best season with Arakpo back. So,
okay. Well, yeah, that's everybody make sure you check that out. Probably Thursday night, Friday, I'll have my blog up. So.
Whoa, 2 in a week, son.
2 in a week, we doing big things. Yes, we are, man. We moving our brand forward.
But real quick, when Will talked about what Cowboy Redskin Week means on Twitter, there's some Redskin fans, Redskin Nation. I represent Redskin Nation. I don't talk about Cowboy Nation. But my man, Roland Massa, so it's at Roland Massa 73, says, huge, but I'm worried this year. Romo playing on another level. Skins D is awful, sensing a blowout win for the Cowgirls. Really? The Cowgirls? A win? I wouldn't say all that. Like I said, Redskin Cowboy games are rarely blowouts, but this defense is bad.
Yeah, it is historically bad.
It is bad. Well, it's been good the last 2 weeks.
Well,
though.
it was historically bad for the first four games of the season.
The last two, like first four,
first two specifically.
Yeah, cool. I say because Detroit wasn't terrible.
Yeah,
it's Detroit though.
Yeah, two for the first two games. It was historically bad.
Detroit made Chicago look bad too.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying numbers wise.
Yeah, I'll give you that. You know, but anyway, on our Facebook page, same question. George Templeton said, "I used to work with several Cowboy fans in Richmond, and it was unbearable when the Skins lost to them." So yeah, we know how it is when you're going to work after the Cowboys beat you. It's really unbearable. I'm sure you've seen it from some of your coworkers who are Redskin fans who have to deal with Cowboy fans.
No, yeah, people get over emotional about football, but that's another that's another conversation for another time. But let's move the conversation along. Let's actually talk about the game predictions, what we think.
I'm not going to predict the game because we got that's on our prediction list. Can't only actually predict the game. We're going to put that on our predictions list.
Let's talk about kind of the nuts and bolts, X's and O's of the games. Concerns, scheme, what do you think you'll see happen come Sunday night, 8:30, prime time.
All right. So
Jerry Land.
This is what I expect because I have nothing. The only time this person has failed me was this season in primetime. And I expect RG3 to be what he was last season primetime. I think every primetime game he had last season, the dude flourished.
So you think because he played, he has his four games under his belt that
exactly.
He didn't have in the preseason.
That bye week to me is essential.
That this will be the 9 months are over because they said 7 to 9 months for him to fully recuperate from the injury and be back to his old self. You think that this will be the game that he shows out prime time, Dallas, in his hometown.
It's Texas. He in Texas. We did great things in Baylor. It's prime time. It's Sunday night football. The lights are sparkling. They're just beaming on them. It's like Willie Beeman.
I already told you he's like Willie Beeman.
Yeah, in a way. And you know, it just reminds me of Thanksgiving. For some strange reason, I just have that Thanksgiving game in my mind. I don't know why. I just do. I just think this is something. This could be something special. I actually have faith that Kyle Shanahan has put together a good game plan for RG3 in this game. DeMarcus Ware isn't healthy. He's not really playing all snaps. You watch the Denver game, so that's a guy you don't have to worry about. Spencer's out for the season. Now you see and the secondary isn't impressive right now. Giving up big yards. So
Claiborne's giving up. He's lost. Well, he had that one interception, but prior to that, his confidence is shot.
I know. God bless his heart. That one interception. God bless his heart.
Okay. What I see, you know, kind of taking everything into account, I actually think that this is going to be a game where Tony Romo, I think he rebounds. I think that it's a lower scoring game, probably like a 17-14 game. I think that Robert Griffin, he finally is able. They're finally able to use a little bit of the zone read, and that's the thing that I think. If they're able to use that, that changes. That's probably the variable that changes this whole game, because when Redskins are able to use zone read, you know, it makes the running lanes a little bit easier for Alfred Morris. It changes the pass coverage, and also with him running, will probably give his teammates the spark, you know, kind of that pick me up that essentially they haven't had in the first couple of games. So
I mean, but in the same time, will they even? Well, I'll say this: Alfred Morris being the only the blessing. Though the blessing thing that out at Raiders game, we saw Roy Helu. When he gets touches, he can make big plays. So we may not just see a lot of Alfred Morris. We may see Alfred Morris and Roy Helu. So it may be a dual thing.
You never know that maybe the Redskins come out and run the ball 35 times on the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and he may not be 110%. He may not be 100% due to that rib injury he had. So we may see more of a split between the two.
Possibly.
Obviously, we would love to have Alfred Morris out there due to the fact what he did last year in the last game of the season. The Cowboys didn't look like they can stop him. And you might see the zone read option with Alfred Morris and RG3, especially now with RG3 more healthy than he was the last game of the season. It was effective with a crippled RG3. So it could be an interesting game. Again, I am my predictions. I'm not gonna predict.
I think your loyalty blinds you sometimes from making accurate predictions.
No, it's okay. I know Denver. We're playing Denver. I do know that. So okay. Ask me when we play Denver how loyal I am.
Okay,
I'm very loyal, but ask me. I may plead the fifth.
1, 2, 3, 4, fifth.
Exactly, fifth. So I mean, in that regard, yeah. But let me read off a couple little Facebook. Statements about how Cowboy Week means to them, and then we can go to commercial break. I want to shout out some couple of other folks. My man John Richardson says, "Huge, the only game that can turn family and friends against each other."
I wouldn't say the only game. I don't think that's the only game.
Oh, what other game can turn families and friends against each other?
In college football, Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Ohio State, Michigan.
Right. Duke, North Carolina.
Yeah, Maryland, Duke, when it comes to basketball and college basketball.
You think it could?
I think over the last couple of, if you take into account, you know, starting from 1999 up until, you know, probably last year, I think it would have, because of the rivalry, especially from the Maryland side, the intensity of the rivalry is so, the hatred towards Duke from Maryland side is so strong.
That's true.
So I think that, what else? Okay. What other rivalry?
That's about it, man.
In the NFL.
That's about it.
NFL's
overrated. The Steelers, Baltimore. Is that real?
No. At its peak, it was. But what? It's on the tip. Green Bay and Chicago.
And I thought the Vikings.
Green Bay, Chicago. That's really, they have.
Not the Vikings?
Mm-mm.
Not Green Bay Vikings. Randy Moss made it sound as if the Green Bay Vikings thing is real.
No, I know Green Bay, Chicago is real. Because it's the oldest rivalry in NFL football.
Oh, okay. It's weak now. Then it's weak now.
Yeah.
I think it's Green Bay Vikings, though. Are you sure? I think it's pretty big.
I'm pretty positive, man. You can throw it out there. You can throw it out there to the world.
Putting his butt cheeks on the pole?
Nah.
They ain't like that.
Nah. I know that Dallas and San Fran at a certain point it was, you know, back in the heyday.
Yeah, okay, it was big. During the 90s. It wasn't big as Redskins Cowboys, though, but it was big, though. All right, let me read a couple more off before we go to commercial.
Well, we're
going to talk about Obama. We're going to talk about that.
About it. But anyone who's in Dallas, who's, you know, listening to the shows on Facebook or follows us on Facebook or Twitter.
I don't got Cowboy fans on here.
I'm interested to know from someone who lives in Dallas, from their perspective, do people in Dallas get up, as amped and get as hyped as people up here for the football game?
That's funny because I was, you know, Dallas Cowboy Blue, who's on Twitter, who follows the show for years. I was tweeting with him yesterday, you know, and he's always told me, like, it's big over there. It's big.
Okay.
He's amped for the game, but he thinks the Cowboys suck anyway. It's hilarious to see what Cowboy fans think of their own team. A lot of people hate Romo, though.
A lot of
Cowboy fans.
I mean, if you listen to certain radio stations after the game around here, a lot of people are starting to hate Robert Griffin III.
Hey. I don't hate Robert Griffin III.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying there are some Redskins fans
about Redskins fans, man. I'm a diehard skin fan. I can't watch games.
I don't think that's rest. I think that's all football fans. I think after a tough loss, they're emotional.
They're too emotional.
I think people in general are too emotionally in tune to football. You see, people,
no, football is life, right? Well, I can't. It's life on Sundays. It is life. All right? I don't need to be around people. I punch holes in walls because the Redskins.
You were about to start fights.
I was about to exactly
over football.
Over football. That's true. Football is life. I like to be in my home, isolated from the world, because I feel like, one, I'm safe, and someone else is safe. Okay. All right?
I mean, that's one perspective. Exactly. That's one way. Or you just too emotionally in tune to football.
Hey, I don't deny that, brother. Okay. It's real, though.
I mean, the first step to recovery is admittance.
Who wants to recover? All right, and also, my man, same question on Facebook. My man Thomas Curl says, it's always a big deal, rivalry, bragging rights, trash talking, Redskins win, plus them tied for first place can save our season. Okay, yeah, that's true. Tied for first place, save the season, that's fine.
Yeah, like kind of what we stated, you know, is it a bigger game than, you know, when the Redskins were 0-3 going into the black hole?
All right, we can't read them all anyway. But real quick,
did I say Redskins? I meant the Washington football
Redskins.
Team.
It's Redskins. Right, let's talk about that real quick. Redskins.
I mean, let's talk about that after the break.
We talk about now. I got more to talk about after the break. We got some real stuff to talk about after the break.
Okay.
You want to talk about now? Do you want to? Or you want to do after the break?
Let's do it after the break.
All right, let's do it after the break. It's the Urban Sports Center Eyes Radio Network.
For ages.
Yeah, dig?
Deuces.
Blow up last season. Every win. Every loss. Every headline. Blow it all up. 'Cause all that matters is what you do next.
Don't mind me, baby. Bounce. We're taking over something. Bounce. Let's take all, champ. Hey.
This is Josh Morgan from the Washington Redskins, and you're listening to Eyes Radio.
You can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Apple G's Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian. Yeah, like Will said, man, it's about time to talk about the Redskins. The Redskins name.
And the Washington football team.
And President Obama mentioning, you know, this issue. All right, first let me approach this.
Actually, they're talking about it now on CNN.
I know, but let me put this out here real quick. All right, I haven't been working like 8 days.
Okay.
I don't need you to talk about the Redskins name.
You haven't been to work for 8 days. Why?
Oh, the government shutdown.
Because you're a government worker.
I'm a government worker. Yeah. Government
preface
shutdown.
That. Let people know.
Okay, I'm a government worker. Federal government worker. and you're talking about the Redskins. Dude, if you're going to talk anything come out your mouth, talk about what you're talking about today. You're talking about the government shutdown. That's all I want to hear about. All right, I don't want to hear you talk about the Washington Redskins. They don't make any sense to me. All right? Even babies crying. All right?
That's how serious it is.
Babies crying. All right, I'm going to need you to go ahead and make your little, go ahead, kiss babies and talk about the government.
Okay.
Don't be talking about the Redskins. The Redskins. All right? It happened. That's the name.
Okay, I'll address this more in my blog, but that's coming Friday, Thursday night.
You should I'm going to tell you something. Never, ever give out a date for a blog.
Don't put
the pressure on yourself. You're doing too much.
I'm putting the pressure on myself because I'm a guy who, although I like my freedom, I need starch and have and you know deadlines. I need deadlines.
All right. Just saying.
Okay.
Don't put too much pressure on yourself, son.
the reason why I think that you know, for us to not, if it you know, let me get myself together first. Let me get focused. The name is incredibly insensitive to a certain group of individuals. That group of individuals being Native Americans. If it were black people, we have Jesse Jackson, we have Al Sharpton to talk to us. White people, sorry to say this, but damn it, white people rule the world. just
Rush,
being real.
It'll be Rush Limbaugh.
What's the other guy's name on Fox 5 News?
Oh, Sean Fox Hannity.
Yeah, Hannity, and it would be...
Who would be the white activist?
I don't know, but
I don't even like using Rush Limbaugh because that's not fair. White people are real cool, so I don't even like using that. Who would be a white activist?
I don't know, but
I guess you're right. They must rule the world.
Yeah, you know, if it was anti-Semitic for Jews, it would be an uproar over that. Muslims, it would be an uproar over that.
Farrakhan?
Yeah, Farrakhan.
Yeah, well, he sucks.
We're not going to get into our political or religious beliefs on this show, but I think that with people saying that we don't care that it offends Native Americans, the name is incredibly offensive to Native Americans. We just need to say that we don't care about what Native Americans think. For one, that's, you know, essentially that you're slapping Native Americans in the face by saying, I'm not going to change the name. I don't care what you think. You're saying that I don't care how Native Americans feel. For one, that's one. And for two, because Native Americans are such a small segment and they don't have the financial power to really affect the Redskins' bottom line, that's the second reason why it won't get changed immediately until there's a very strong uproar from the national press, from Native Americans. And also, to me, as an African-American man, if something is racially insensitive, I would think the African-Americans will also kind of take that plight also just because of the way the African-Americans have been dealt with in the past because of our heritage and our past. I'm speaking from the perspective, I'm kind of passionate about it because my grandmother is Native American.
Okay.
So that's why I can see because her, you know, she raised her children in the D.C. area. You know, I remember talking to her before she passed how she felt about the name. Now, although her children are huge Redskins fans, she felt a certain type of way about the name because she educated me at a young age of how racially insensitive the name is. So that's kind of why I take the stand that I take. But mm-hmm. until, because Native Americans don't financially can't affect the Redskins, that's why the name won't change immediately. But if you continue to put pressure on the Redskins from a media and a PR perspective, I think eventually you'll get the name change.
Yeah, I'm not going to sound insensitive because I understand what you're talking about, and it's an understandable, valid stance, and it's a correct stance. But I will say this. There are teams out there that you can say the same things about. You work to deal with the Florida State Seminoles. You work to deal with them. That's why they can keep their name at the moment. You're not really pressing them. Not you, but I'm saying a lot of folks are not pressing them.
Okay.
You got the Kansas City Chiefs. To me, still, I think anything that's representing a race in a term that it is stereotyping them, it could be offensive.
True.
And you're not the same. Pressure isn't put on these teams. The Chicago Blackhawks, the Atlanta Braves, they do the chop. I think that to me, stereotypically, that's, if I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, that's, you're stereotyping all Native Americans. Like, you're just doing like the Atlanta Brave chop. Like, no one's pressing them, but you're pressing the Washington Redskins, i.e. an organization that makes a lot of money in,
so you
in
think,
all sports. I think money's
so you think it's financially motivated?
I think so. I think it's a way to get your name out there at the same time, because it's a team that is, we're looking at sports, one of the highest.
Well, it's the second. Well, no, I think the third from the value of the franchise, yeah, the third most valuable franchise in North American sports.
I couldn't, but this is my thing, and I always use, you know, this is my thing. I feel like if you're going to go and fight the battle, group them all together. Then, if for me, just looking at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is not a winnable cause. Like, this is not a cause to really fight, because they're grouping everything. They're really strong about this. Like, they really, folks really care about it. But if you're just going to go after one team, I'm looking at it like, I have to, like, scratch my head. Is it because Daniel Snyder kind of pissed you off by saying, we're not going to change the name, and now you're all going to fight about it? Or is it something that you really are really, really passionate about?
I think it's something that, you know, that's been discussed over the years, but it hasn't come into the national media.
That's true.
Yeah. Until recently, you know, because of, you know, the interview with Daniel Snyder specifically said, no, I'm never, put it in capital letters, N-E-V-E-R, never changing the name.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that kind of added a little bit of fire to the fuel. But if there's a certain segment of a nationality or race that thinks that the name is racially insensitive and inflammatory, I think that we do owe them the common courtesy and decency to. I think he should have gone to the meeting today.
He handled it terribly.
This isn't the first thing that, from a PR perspective, that he's handled terribly. Yeah,
that's a fact. I'm not arguing that.
I think that it speaks volumes about him, his personality, of him as a man, for him not to at least go to the meeting that's in Washington, D.C.
sitting there
and at least hear them out and hear what they have to say. For you to just kind of say, you're beneath me, I don't care about you, I'm not listening to you. That speaks volumes about him, the way he runs this franchise, and how he views Native Americans.
Yeah, I do agree that he handled it terribly. I'm not going to go into the man personally, but I do agree. I agree that he's handled it terribly. To be honest with you, you should never, if people feel a particular way and they feel like, okay, like this is demeaning to their race or demeaning to them as an individual, you need to listen to it regardless of what you feel. You have to listen to it. All right, that makes no sense. We would all be ignorant not to listen to it, like, period. I mean, look, for me, if Congress were like, we're not listening to you, period, you know, I'm looking at them like, you was a piece of you know what. Like, that's not fair. It's,
exactly.
It's an injustice to you. You have to listen to it regardless. Yeah, you got to at least acknowledge it. All right. I'm not saying that you have to acknowledge it like, okay, sir, you're right or you're wrong. But to a point, you acknowledge that this person has a gripe with you.
And I think you bring up an interesting parallel that, you know, a lot of people in D.C. can actually relate to, because, all right, you're, like you said, you're a government worker. For the past 8 days, you've been furloughed or not unable to go to work, even though you're willing. What if if people organized themselves and went to the state capitol and protested in front of their senators and congressmen, essentially stating that, you know, we feel a certain type of way as government workers. We want to express ourselves and tell you we aren't pleased with what you're doing and how you're essentially playing chicken and holding us hostage, you know, because of the ideological differences between the two parties.
Yeah.
Let's just say, you know, you could relate that to essentially what the Native Americans gathering with the NFL today, saying, hey, we want to articulate this to you. We feel a certain type of way. And Daniel Snyder just saying, I'm too busy to not even show up. What if congressmen and senators were, you know, just said, we're too busy to listen to you all and, you know, hear you articulate your point of view and your voice? So I think, you know, I don't know Daniel Snyder as a man, you know, and if I was kind of harsh in prejudging him and saying that speaks volume of his character and him as a person, I don't know him, so I'm not going to say that speaks volumes about him, because that's, you know, me kind of being kind of harsh. But I do think that action kind of leads credence into how he views the Native Americans' view and plight when it comes to this situation.
We can say this, you, by what he said, shows a level of arrogance.
True.
So he to me, he's arrogant, but that's nothing new. Like, he's been arrogant his whole freaking
his reign
as owner as Washington Redskins. The truth. Do I disagree with some of the things Daniel Snyder has done? Yes. Do I like some of the things Daniel Snyder has done? Yes. So I have a love-hate relationship with Daniel Snyder. I don't really hate Daniel Snyder like most Washington Redskins fans do. But at the same time, yeah, I agree with you, Will. I think he handled it poorly. I think he's actually, to be honest with you, he's put gasoline to the fire. If he had shut up, I think all this would have died down. This is my opinion.
Yeah, it's, you know, kind of like the Riley Cooper thing. It just went away.
Yeah. It's true. No, that's the we'll talk about that later. No, that's the damn truth. Seriously, like,
yeah,
no one talks about Riley Cooper.
Yeah, people were in the uproar about Riley Cooper, yeah. And you know, his use of the N word. He's essentially
almost caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, he's essentially doing nothing in the Eagles' offense, and you know, kind of the situation's kind of gone away. But anyway, let's go up 295 and talk about
that crowd again.
I know I said it all the time just to get on, just to rattle you a little bit, to get you a little upset. But let's go up 295 to talk about the defending world champion Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens, they defeated the Miami Dolphins. Now they're 3-2. Ray Rice was featured more. I think he had 27 carries, about 74 yards though. It was like, I guess
had a touchdown.
Had two touchdowns, right? I think it was two.
I'm not sure. I can't tell you. I watched the game.
I think it was two touchdowns. You see what happens when the Ravens feature Ray Rice. Obviously.
Even though they have a franchise quarterback?
Even though they have a quarterback.
Who's paid as a franchise quarterback?
They have a quarterback. who's won a Super Bowl MVP. What works best for the Ravens? Flacco being featured or Ray Rice being featured?
I think, you know, the Ravens kind of, and you can tell from the first couple of weeks, even though Ray Rice was injured for half of one game, they're trying to change the image of this team from being the Ray Lewis team that was led by the defense and had a strong running game. And, you know, the quarterback, specifically Joe Flacco, having to just pick his spots and make plays and not turn the ball over. In the first couple of weeks, they figured, hey, we're paying this guy $20 million. We're going to air it out.
Yeah, we're going to make it work.
We're going to make it work. He's going to be the leader. He's going to be the face of this franchise. We're putting it on his back. You know, the struggles at Denver and also them struggling with
The Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. It's kind of changed that, you know, with Flacco throwing those five interceptions. It's kind of changed the perspective and the narrative for this team, and they're having to go back to saying, hey, we're successful running the ball, ground and pounding with Ray Rice. We're going to let Bernard Pierce hit you in spots, and then we'll go play action.
To
Torrey Smith and beat you over the top with a couple of plays with Torrey Smith. So I think the Ravens still have an excellent opportunity at 3-2 to kind of, you know, work their way back into the conversation as being one of the top teams in the AFC. The defense doesn't have the leadership that it previously had with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. But from an athletic standpoint, I think that this defense is it's younger, a little bit better in certain spots. Specifically in the secondary with having Ladarius Webb back and also, having Michael Huff back there also.
Yeah, they think they benched Michael Huff, though. It seems like they benched him. They start the rookie Elam and a Hegabo, whatever his name is. I don't know his name. I'm messing up my man's name. He's African too. Yeah, name like that.
Exactly. You know. You supposed to have that.
Hegabo or Hegabo. I think he's not. He'd be Nigerian.
You'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. But on Twitter, I asked the same question. At primetime, Mitch said, "Look at the last two games versus Buffalo. It was Flacco, five picks and a loss. Versus Miami, it was Rice, two touchdowns. He did have two touchdowns and a W. Yeah. So yeah, Ray Rice to me, in my opinion, is. When this team has Ray Rice leading the team, this team is more effective. Flacco. Of course, like Will said, they want to feature Flacco because Flacco was a guy.
He's the $20 million man.
Exactly. And he led him to a Super Bowl victory with the arm of Flacco. Wasn't Ray Rice really doing the thing down the stretch in that playoff run? It wasn't Ray Rice getting 100 yards or 150 yards. It was Flacco getting big plays to Torrey Smith and Quan Bowden making big plays. So in that regard, yeah, we're looking – they look good. But again, we always said that if Flacco was hot, he's dangerous. But we need to know the real Flacco. We know what Ray Rice is. Ray Rice, to me, is the heart and soul of that Ravens offense. So you need your heart and soul of their offense to get busy.
Also, you have to couple, I think, what people aren't taking into consideration is when the Ravens were at their best is when guys like Brian McKinney and Michael Orr were firing off the ball in the run game, you know, bulldozing people, and also in the passing situation when they were creating a pocket for Flacco to, you know, have his five, seven-step drop and, you know, go through his progressions and make the right pass. So that's one thing that they aren't getting this year because, you know, Bryant McKinney isn't playing to the level that he played at previously, and that's why this past week they brought in Eugene Monroe from Jacksonville.
Yeah, and that's a good one because, matter of fact, at Sandro, pretty much said the same thing Will just said. The Ravens
are better. Think alike.
Exactly. The Ravens are better when the O line can block for Flacco and open up holes for the run game. Yeah. So yeah, what Will just said. The offensive line hasn't been as sturdy and hasn't been as I won't say dominant, but as good as it used to be in prior years. McKinney's just isn't he's not himself anymore, and
he's more worried about throwing parties on party buses.
Yeah. The love boat.
Brian McKinney
will
likes
be
to party.
Making another run. I know, right? It's my man.
Yeah.
I would love to hang out with McKinney.
Me too. I would love to bring out with Brian McKinney. I think he'd be a lot of fun.
I don't think there's nothing
with.
Wrong with it, honestly.
I mean, if he handles himself on the field, you know.
Yeah,
if he
see, you know what? That's my thing. Everybody brings that. Like, people bring that. I heard Ray Lewis and other commentators bring it up.
I think we talked about it, Ray Lewis, when they
it
had
wasn't
the conversation.
Just Ray Lewis, though. It was somebody else.
Yeah, but specifically, Ray Lewis said that, you know, what happened with Jacoby Jones on the party bus, he said that wouldn't happen when it was his team because, you know, he had essentially the pulse and the heart of that locker room and people wouldn't want to let him down.
I mean, I don't know. If you got party bus and strippers, I'm down. I'm so down. It's not even funny. Like, I'm in there to win it. Like, I'm not even there to lose. I'm in there to win.
Exactly. I think that should be one of our promotions. I think we should invite a fan. We get a party bus, a couple strippers, bottles. And
yes,
I think that'll be a promotion.
Yeah, but strippers can't hit a bottle upside your head though. That's
no strippers will be able
to
hit
the
bottles.
True. That's legendary. I want to. Yeah, exactly. Or we should do a show from the strip club, and not a rinky dink strip club.
No,
like a DC strip club. I'm talking about a grungy hole in the wall type strip club.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like
in DC. You can't touch them.
Yeah,
can't touch
and not
in
like
DC.
In real talk. Not like weak little stadium. Overrated. Wings, I hear, are good, but overrated.
No, the wings are phenomenal.
Are they really?
Yeah, I've had the wings.
Yeah, strippers and food. Sweaty, butt crack, you know what I mean?
Yeah, actually,
I don't know.
In Atlanta, Magic City, they have phenomenal wings.
Really?
Yeah.
We went to Atlanta. We went to Magic City.
Me and my homie, we went there.
We went there, too. I was there, too.
And you were there, but
don't
me and him went on a separate vacation.
Right?
Yes.
And you hyped it, totally like it was something special.
It was totally different.
It wasn't that. No, it wasn't.
Magic
City
is
overrated. That's an overrated
place,
too. That's an overrated
place. We were the only males in the club.
Really?
Exactly.
That's overrated. That's an overrated. How early did y'all get there?
Why you trying to put us on First Street? We got there about 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
Was it good?
Yeah,
so really, was that good?
Yeah, it was.
That's one overrated place. Magic City is overrated. I'm gonna tell y'all, go to strip clubs in Prince George's County. We get it in.
All right,
I'm gonna say we get it in, son.
All right, let's get back to football. All right, AFC North. You have three teams that's sitting at 3-2. 3-2. You have Cleveland.
Yeah.
You have the Baltimore Ravens, and you have Cincinnati Bengals, and you have the Steelers, who
are dead
winless.
And done.
Dead and done.
Yeah, dead and done.
Okay. Out of those three teams that we named, which one do you think has the best chance of capturing the AFC North?
You know what? I want to go with Cincinnati because I like their defense. I think they have the best defense out of all the teams. But, you know, I used to be a believer of Andy Dalton. I'm not a believer anymore.
I agree with you. We're agreeing again.
Jeez. Yeah, so I'm leaning towards the Ravens. I think the Ravens – to me, the Ravens defense is – we need to one first thing first. We need to scrap out what happened to him in Denver. That's happening to everybody. So that their defense has been pretty good. Joe Flacco hasn't been great, and I think you know when I was talking about the Redskins, how the Redskins offense makes the defense look bad at times. You give up 5 turnovers against Buffalo, your defense is going to look bad. You right. can't expect this Ravens defense is not the Ravens defense of 2000, but it's a damn near good defense. And if you could, and if Joe Flacco doesn't turn the ball over, this team could be effective as well. Suggs looks 100% after the Achilles he turned a couple years ago. What was the last season he tore his Achilles?
And he came back.
Yeah,
he came back and played.
He looks good. He looks healthy. You got Dumervil. I think those two as a tandem look. They look dangerous.
Then you have Haloti Ngata.
Ngata, obviously Ngata.
You got Chris Canty.
Chris Canty is balling. Chris Canty, and then you got Upshaw. You got Courtney Upshaw.
And then at the linebacker, you bring in a guy like Daryl Smith. Now, obviously, from a skill and a leadership standpoint, he can't replace Ray Lewis, but in pass coverage,
he's playing a high level.
He's superior than Ray Lewis was towards the end of his career.
Sure is. So this team defensively can do some things, and you still got Ray Rice. Obviously, they miss Anquan Boldin. That's a fact. But the young kid Brown has looked good anyway. So I'm gonna go with the Ravens to win the division now.
I'm agree with you. Only reason I wouldn't pick Cincinnati is because I think that Cincinnati is having a conversation that a lot of teams are having, which is, do we have a franchise quarterback or don't we have a franchise
battle,
quarterback?
That's the battle they have right now.
Yeah, so, and me personally, I don't think, just taking into account all the weapons that Andy Dalton has around him, I think he's the one element of that offense that's holding them back. Because you think about it from the tight end perspective, then you have A.J. Green, then you have
Gresham. Gresham, you got
Tyler Eifert.
The young running back and
Giovanni Bernard. Yeah. Then you have the law firm.
I'm not a big fan of him, but yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, you know they have Marvin Jones, and then they have Sanu.
Well, I mean, Sanu is good. I mean, those are good role players. But my thing is, you got AJ Green. I mean, let's just put it out there. All right, AJ Green is one of the best wide receivers. One of the best wide receivers in the game. And if he had a better quarterback than Andy Dalton, he would be that dominant. Like AJ Green is hard to stop.
Exactly.
And I'm amazed. Like Andy Dalton should, like you said, Andy Dalton should dominate with these guys, man. AJ Green gets double teamed and still puts up numbers. You have Gresham. To me, is that prototypical tight end, and every team wants athletic, can get open, hard to cover, and you can't dominate that situation. I mean, you've had about 3 years now to do something special. I look at it like Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan has Peyton Manning in him, but he has too much talent to be playing like a good quarterback. You know, Andy Dalton has too much talent to struggle at times.
You brought up a name that actually was on the tip of my tongue. I think if you put a quarterback with the skill set and competitiveness, and I'm not saying the clutch, that Matt Ryan is clutch, because he isn't by far, but if you
put... He's clutch in a particular situation. He's clutch.
Not in the playoffs.
All right, that's good.
Okay,
that's
if you put a Matt, if you put Matt Ryan on the Bengals team with that defense, I think you have a team that can potentially be... They're consistently getting deep into the AFC playoffs.
I don't know. Because to me, Matt Ryan has more weapons than Andy Dalton.
But I'm just saying, but, you know, he had...
He doesn't have that defense. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
He doesn't have that defense.
I don't know. I just don't know. The Matt Ryan to me has Julio. Anytime I look at Matt Ryan, I'm like, dude, you see what Peyton Manning is doing in Denver? Like, I'm not... Like, I see them in Matt Ryan. I guess I'm the only one, but I see them in Matt Ryan. Anytime I see it, I'm like, dude, you got... Like, the talent you have, it's not even fair. Like, you have Super Bowl talent easily. Like, easily. You have Roddy White. I'm not even going off this season because Roddy White's not 100%. Let's go off last season. You have Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez. All right. Harry Douglas ain't no joke on the slot. You know what I mean? You got – at last season, you had Michael Turner. Michael Turner is still a good running back. You have Rodgers as your backup. You have talent.
I think the biggest thing is – the Matt Ryan conversation. I think
we should carry this on later, but yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna wrap it up, but yes. I think if you look at it, the thing with Atlanta is, they don't create mismatches. You look at a team like New Orleans, and that offense thrives off creating mismatches with Jimmy Graham, Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles out of the backfield, Marquise Colston going across the middle, and even, you know, the young wide receivers they have with Toon and Stills. Okay. But I think that's the biggest thing that's holding Atlanta back. They don't create mismatches with the talent that they have.
All right, real quick. We're going back to Atlanta, too, after the break. But real quick, back to the Ravens. Ravens are playing the Packers next. What are the keys to victory to beat the Packers? We're not saying that this is a game also on our prediction list, so we can't predict who's going to win. But that's the keys for the Ravens to win.
Keep the Packers offense off the field with the run game, Ray Rice. And also from a defensive standpoint, create pressure to kind of throw Aaron Rodgers off of his spot, and the DBs have to be able to cover.
Well, Webb is going to, like Will said, Webb is going to have to be a big factor in this game. Cornerback for the Ravens. If Webb can shut down, I don't know who he'll probably be on. I guess he'll probably be on Jordy Nelson. Put him on Jordy Nelson and try to contain Cobb. Cobb in the slot is a dangerous dude. Try to contain Cobb. They can contain Cobb. And like Will said, give the ball to Ray Rice. Pound Ray Rice. That's a formula to win. And Flacco's just going to have to make plays over the top with Torrey Smith. They got a blessing. Matthews is out. He'll be out for a month. He won't be in this game. And that's a guy who's injury prone, Clay Matthews. A lot of people talk about, you know, certain other players, but Clay Matthews is a guy who hasn't been able to stay on the field. And to me, you know, for a guy who gets talented, is probably one of the best pass rushers now on the field to get that name. He's getting paid a lot, and he misses a lot of games. So Clay Matthews is going to need to, you know, stay on the field to make an impact to me on a consistent basis. But it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about some NFL news, Geno Smith beating the Atlanta Falcons, and also quick questions. Since we've been talking about the Atlanta Falcons, Mike Smith, should he still be the coach for the Falcons?
Interesting question.
It's the Urban Sports and the Israel Network.
For ages.
Get it?
Deuces.
Time out! Okay, guys, Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, we're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, we back from break. Thanks, Ryan Kerrigan. We appreciate it. Washington Redskins, Cowboys week. Let's get what's going down. Like I said, it's the Urban Sports Scene, the Eyes Radio Network. Thanks for listening to us on this live edition of the Urban Sports Scene.
It's actually the government shutdown special.
It is. That's good. Yeah, you're right. The live special government shutdown edition of the Urban Sports Scene.
That's marketing.
I hate you, Congress. I really do. I really hate Congress.
But look at it this way. They approved that at least you'll get paid.
I know. We are back paid, but dang, man. Rent going to come up soon. I need to pay my rent. Time's tough, son. Anyway. Oh, man. Monday night game. You catch it. Jets defeated the Falcons. I believe it was 30-28.
I did.
Great game.
If y'all hear something chewing.
Oh, Will eat.
I'm sorry. I'm hungry.
He getting busy, man. He eating. Thoughts of the game, man. Oh, no, he's eating. I'll put my thoughts in the game. This man eating. I'm not even sensitive to the man's eating ability. I'm a Geno Smith fan, and I was excited for the dude. The dude threw three touchdowns. I believe he only had four incomplete passes. 16 for 20.
I'm back now.
That's cool. It's great. 16 for 20. He showed he led a game-winning drive. I told you, if you watch this kid playing in West Virginia, you know that this guy can. One thing you know he can do, he can throw the ball. He can throw the football. So you shouldn't be shouldn't be surprised that he can lead a game winning drive. I believe I had a weird stat. He leads the league in game winning drives already in this season.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With I believe fourth quarter through to overtime.
Oh man.
Already. And
essentially, you're saying you're right. That's what you're putting a big nanny boo boo. I was right.
Yeah, vote. Yeah,
okay. Just come on, say it. Just be honest.
I am white, because you know what? And you look at this. People look at the stats. And like, he's thrown a lot of interceptions. He's turned the ball over.
Yeah, he's thrown. I think they had a stat, an interesting stat on Monday Night Football that said, the two quarterbacks with the high through, I think it was three games.
Yeah.
Four games with the most turnovers were Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And Geno Smith is actually tied with those guys.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the thing I remind people who say, oh, Geno should be benched. We're in a terrible era, honestly, when it comes to kind of grooming quarterbacks. You know, rookie quarterbacks, as soon as they start struggling, we're like, oh, they should be benched. Peyton Manning, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Well, that goes.
I remember like it was yesterday. Peyton Manning was horrible when it came to turnovers his first 5-8 games in the season. Then he turned it on when he started under. You know, it just happens. You turn it on, you start understanding the NFL game.
But you have to also take into consideration, if you think about it, the evolution of rookie quarterbacks, NFL quarterbacks. It used to be a time where a rookie quarterback wouldn't even touch the field for the first
year.
That's
true.
Or he would play towards the end of the year if the team was really struggling. But I think with the success of Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, Russell Wilson, Big Ben, even Ryan Tannehill, that process, that grooming process has kind of been sped up.
Yeah.
So when you see a rookie quarterback struggle like Geno Smith has, for some of the games, people get anxious. They get unsettled. They say, why isn't he doing what these other rookie quarterbacks were doing? Who, you know, like a Russell Wilson, who was subsequently taken later than he was in the draft.
Well, to me, it started off with Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco. I know I mentioned Big Ben, but when Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco started, then it started saying, okay, then people started thinking like, oh, wow, these two were in the first round, top 10 picks, and they're playoff teams already. You know, it's turning franchises around.
And also, if you know, the Jets fans are probably looking at it from this perspective. Mark Sanchez, who wasn't the greatest or a very good quarterback, came in and first 2 years took the team to the AFC Championship game.
That's true.
So they're probably looking at it from the perspective of, well, if he's supposed to be better than Sanchez, Sanchez took us to an AFC Championship game the first 2 years, so we need to bench him. And even though Sanchez is out for the season, we need to go some other place. But just realistically, looking at it, where else are you going to go to if you're the Jets outside of Geno Smith? There's no other viable quarterback on your
Sims. People mention Sims.
Get out of here.
It's crazy, but I'm happy for the kid. He showed in two occasions that he can lead a game-winning drive. I know the Tampa Bay game, people want to always say, oh, well, it was that late hit they got it. But you know, at the same time, he put his team in a situation to succeed. You can mention it, but if it wasn't for him making that run to try to get out of bounds, which he did do, he got out of bounds, he put his team in a situation to win. A lot of quarterbacks don't do that. Go ahead.
Also, you're proud of yourself because you can tell everybody, like, see, look, I told you.
I told you.
Exactly. The next 15 seconds, just get it out.
Let me be real. Ha, 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 ha. I told folks this. I told folks that Geno Smith would be a good NFL quarterback, and it is what it is. I watched this kid in West Virginia. I'm gloating. Honestly, I'm gloating like a mug. There are a lot of people out there who's criticized Geno Smith, and they're so surprised that he's played well. And I'm like, there are so many bad quarterbacks that you give props to in the NFL, period. I feel like coming out of the draft, like E.J. Manuel is better than Geno Smith. Like when? Like when was he ever better than Geno Smith?
I think people looked at his physical attributes.
Exactly.
You know, he's like 6'4", a bigger quarterback, played in a pro-style system at Florida State with Jimbo Fisher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got enamored with that. And, you know, opposed to Geno Smith, who came from a spread college offense where they really didn't throw the ball deep. He didn't make a lot of NFL throws, a lot of screen passes. So people took that into consideration.
He made a lot. But the funny thing about it, he made a lot of NFL throws. That's the sad thing about it. But people don't do their research. They look at spread and they think he's spread quarterback, and it is what it is. But I'm happy for the kid. It's good. It's a good win for the Jets. But let's go to Atlanta real quick. That was a bad loss for Atlanta. I thought Atlanta was going to win that game before this game started. You know, I was just hoping that they ain't embarrass my boy Geno Smith. I thought Atlanta was going to dominate the game. You're looking at a team, a hurt Jets team that didn't have Santonio Holmes. This was a prime W for me for Atlanta. And, you know, going there 1-3, you thought they were starving for a W, and they came up short. Is that something? Do you put blame on Mike Smith?
No, I put blame on Thomas Dimitroff, the GM, because that defense has been gutted.
For a couple years ago.
But you know, you let a guy like Curtis Lofton leave, the linebacker.
And you tell Ray. Ray thinks that dude's overrated. You know what hurts them no more? Wait, go ahead. I'll let you go. Ahead.
Also, they got rid of John Abraham, so they don't have, you know, even though they brought in O.C. Umenyor.
Nijah.
And he, you know, he's made some plays, but, you know, they don't have a consistent pass rush. And also, they traded away Dante Robinson. You're going with two, you know, you have Asante Samuel, who's one of, you know, who's one of the better cornerbacks from the perspective of making plays on the ball. But you know, you have Trufant, who's a rookie, and then you bring in another rookie. So you don't have two things that, you know, kind of made this team what they were from a defensive standpoint, which is that pass rush with Abraham, and also, you know, with those, when they had those cornerbacks last year, when they had Asante Samuel, Dante Robinson, and for a brief moment they had Brent Grimes.
Yeah, Brent Grimes, that was a big loss too. That's a guy I think they didn't value as much. I know he's coming off an injury, but Grimes was somebody who was a Pro Bowler at the time with the Falcons. So I totally agree with you in that regard. And also, honestly, the injury to Witherspoon has really hurt this team. That's a middle linebacker who was playing at a high level for a couple years now. Could be I'm not sure if he made the Pro Bowl or not, but this is a guy who knocked out RG3 mm-hmm. out of the game. It's a guy who flies around the ball. So this defense has paid, honestly, and I think in my opinion they've never really taken care of business in terms of the front office of fixing that defense to make that defense stout, make that defense stout enough to help out that offense.
No, what they did was they went with the Peyton Manning approach in Indiana, which is okay,
all
we
offense.
Have all offense. We have a superstar quarterback who we're going to build all offense around. He'll get us a lead, and then we can just find, you know, maybe some later round picks, some draft pass rushers who will, because we have a lead, can tee off on the opposing quarterback, which obviously hasn't worked.
But back to the question, you don't think Mike Smith should be fired?
If
they don't make the playoffs, let me put it this way. If they don't make the playoffs, should Mike Smith be fired?
No. I think I told you what the biggest problem with I think this team, you know, not only defense but offensively, they don't create mismatches. You know, you have a guy like Jacquez Rogers who's lightning quick out of the backfield. I've never seen this guy line up in the slot. I've never seen him try to get him matched up on a linebacker or a safety. You have Tony Gonzalez, where they essentially line him up all the time the same place, you know, either online and, you know, as an online blocker or in a slot where he can be double teamed or shadowed. They have to create mismatches by creating different packages and moving guys around, because you have the weapons on offense to be extremely explosive.
All right, well, I posed the same question on Facebook. Ron Jr., what's up, Big Ron? Said no firing Smith won't solve Atlanta's problems. Now the GM deserves some blame, like Will said.
Mega no fire.
Mega mad, mega smash.
It's an inside joke.
instead of paying Ryan, money could have improved the offensive line and the talent on the defensive side of the ball. That's true. I always say when you overpay something, like you said, overpaying one side of the ball, you're going to neglect the other side. My man South said, no, they need to stop all that damn passing. Go to running game. It's hard when that team is all about finesse right now.
Yeah, then, you got to remember they got rid of Tyson Claybo, who was the right tackle.
Yeah.
Sam Baker.
They still have Sam Baker.
But he's not the same.
Yeah,
he isn't playing at the same level. So.
And my man Andre Gerard said, why do they need to stop passing if their ground game is absent? Their number one is out for weeks, so they have to rely on 2 and 3, and I think he's referring to Steven Jackson, to get done on the ground game. There's not much more they can do on the offensive line.
Jacquez Rogers is still a very viable running back for running back answer for them while Steven Jackson is out. The guy can run between the tackles. He can run off tackle. He can catch out of the backfield if you put him in the slot, and he can catch on the screen game. So while they aren't running, that's, to me, you know, you could go with the Steven Jackson excuse, but they still have options with Jason Snelling and Jacquez Rogers.
Yeah, I agree with you, Will. Like you're saying, I like Jockers Rogers. I liked him at Oregon State. He's a small guy who actually runs hard, and he actually played well to me in the game. He had a rushing touchdown. He made big moves.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah, two touchdowns. Right. So in that regard, I like Jockers Rogers. I think he's effective enough for that team. But let's go to Jets real quick. Big win for the Jets. Do you think Rex Ryan should keep his job, maybe an extension? Because it looks like this team looks like on an upward.
Well, I'll say this. I think what you see the first 2 years when he was in New York, when they went to the AFC Championship game, he concentrated primarily on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's back to primarily coaching the defense again, and he's essentially letting Marty Morningwig be the offensive head coach.
Okay, yeah, who's supposed to.
But the role of a head coach is to oversee the whole team, not just one side of the ball.
That's the misnomer, though. Honestly, I think that does happen, though.
It does happen. It totally does happen. From my understanding, when Joe Gibbs was here, and he had Richie Pettibone, he concentrated on the offense, and Richie Pettibone took on the defense.
I'll give you a prime example. Even when he came back, Greg Williams, that was his defense. And Joe Gibbs tried to concentrate on the offense. Then when he brought Al Saunders in, because he felt that time was passing him by, Al Saunders was all offense.
He just overseed it, but he really didn't do his thing. I think the Jets, unless you have a guy who can come in and from the standpoint bring along a staff that can bring with equal importance to both sides of the ball, I think you have to stay this route with Rex Ryan for now. Because if you think about it, with a rookie quarterback, no weapons on the outside from a receiving standpoint, a weak offensive line, this team is still 3-2 and is very viable for a playoff spot. Yeah. So if he's able to get this team to 9-7, 8-8, I think you have to bring him back.
All right, you put a good question. Could this team make the playoffs?
Yeah, I do. I really do think just the way that defense is playing, it's back to playing it the way it was his first 2 years when it was a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
They have a litany of first rounders along that defensive line with Muhammad Wilkerson. Quentin Copeland's at linebacker. Then you have
what the dude from Missouri, the other big
Sheldon Richardson.
Richardson, the guy
who they picked up. And then you also have Antonio Cromartie, who's turned into one of the top five cornerbacks.
Yes, he has. He's definitely changed his career since after leaving San Diego. Last year, San Diego, he didn't look good. Now he's looked good
after stopping having all them kids. He's looked good now.
Because he can focus.
Yeah, he's not busy.
Focus.
He's not weak anymore.
and they still haven't had the kid from Alabama come back.
D. Milner.
Yeah, D. Milner hasn't come back yet. He's always been hurt, so he'll be healthy enough, and their defense will be even better. But yeah, Jets fans, y'all should feel good about yourselves. You got a franchise quarterback, and your defense is back on top.
Yes. Per Wally, you have a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. You got a franchise quarterback. And for the people who doubt me when I'm on Facebook or Twitter or anybody who listens to the show, you doubt my sports knowledge?
Lost. Shame on them.
You lost.
Shame on them.
You already lost, man. I win the war all the time. Anyway, again, this is another argument I had some more NFL news. Josh Freeman signed a 1-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. Before I phrase the question, I'm going to make another comment. I was on social media, and discussing and debating with individuals about what would be the best place for Josh Freeman to go. I said Minnesota. I put it out there. I was like, Minnesota's the best place. You know why? Because Minnesota wants to win now, and they're a quarterback away. People were putting out the Jets. I was like, nah, Jim from the Jets likes Geno. They dress
Geno Smith.
They like him.
It's guy.
Yeah, it's his guy. I was like, understand it. Then I heard Jacksonville. No, Jacksonville wants to draft a quarterback.
Jacksonville wants to suck it up.
Yeah, they want to draft a quarterback. Cleveland Browns, it's either Hoyer or they're going to draft the quarterback.
Yeah, Hoyer's pretty much out for, I think, the season or duration.
Exactly. Josh Freeman wants to go somewhere where he can be the starting quarterback and stay on for X amount of years. Minnesota's the best place.
Minnesota, and I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. From the perspective of him wanting to start, Minnesota is the ideal place. He came in, he got $3 million on top of the $6 million he's already going to collect from Tampa from this season. So $9 million, hey.
For 1 year?
That, yeah, and also you have Adrian Peterson.
You got Greg Jennings.
You have Greg Jennings. You have Kyle Rudolph. You have Cordell Patterson, the young rookie. You have a defense. Leslie Frazier and Mike Singletary, they always scheme up a way to put that front seven in a position to stop the run and put, apply pressure. Now, that back four, totally different thing. They're horrible. But
always. Isn't it something that's always in Minnesota, though? The front seven, fine. The back four, horrible.
Horrible.
I don't know. They just never try to
meshes. Yeah. It never meshes. But back to the conversation, like you said, it's an ideal spot for Josh Freeman. He'll come in this year, you know, probably after two or three games, you'll probably see him take over the starting spot.
Yeah, no, quick question. Do you think he should start now, though? Because
He doesn't know enough of the offense to start now. Okay. For, you know, if you bring in a guy like Josh Freeman, you're bringing him because you want to alleviate the eight-man fronts. And if he doesn't really know the playbook, then you're still going to have the eight-man front. So give him a week or two to, you know, become fairly familiar with the offensive playbook, about 20-30% of it. And then I think from there you start him and you see where the team goes from there.
All right. You know, for me, I think he can't be worse than – even doesn't know the whole playbook, he can't be worse than Castle. I don't think he can be worse than Castle.
Can't be worse than Castle, but this is –
Ponder won't even – I don't know, Ponder's not going to probably
this
play.
This is an indictment against Christian Ponder and the GM personally because, you know, you spent a pick on this guy, top 12 pick,
yeah.
I think, what, 3 years ago?
And it seems like a stretch. That was a stretch,
and it already seems like you're giving up on him. So that's kind of an indictment that, and you know, it's a good thing if you're a fan because you're saying, hey, he doesn't have too much of an ego to say he messed up. And he's trying to right the ship, but it's an indictment on the GM.
Well, let's just be real. Like you see eight in the box, like you should be passing like crazy. You should be a good passer. You're not even seeing covers that other teams see. I mean, gets to see on a regular basis. People aren't. They're not worried about you. They're like, we're going to stock the line because we have to see AP. So in that regard, I mean, really, he should be fine. When Brett Favre went to Minnesota, he saw passing lanes because, I mean, people were worried about Adrian Peterson. And then we're talking about Brett Favre, even though he ain't the greatest quarterback in the world. I mean, he's the greatest. I mean, don't get wrong. He is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the world. But let me say it this way because I messed up. Let me say it this way. Brett Favre is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Okay.
And if you're more concerned of Adrian Peterson than of Brett Favre, that means you're letting guys go one on one. Then that tells me that all right, well, if Brett Favre can get that attention, I mean, gets that kind of disrespect, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the world. I mean, ever played a game, and you're Christian Ponder, you must see easier covers than that.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? So. We'll see. I think my opinion is that, you know, Freeman should be fine and he'll do better because in Tampa, yeah, Doug Martin's good, but he's not Adrian Peterson good. So it'll be easier for Freeman to take advantage of his big arm with a Greg Jennings. And I think Greg Jennings is a guy. And for fantasy football folks, when Josh Freeman starts, get Greg Jennings off the bat. Like now. So, in that regard, make sure you get Greg Jennings. But anyway, let's go to another segment. Let's talk about the Eagles quarterback situation. Michael Vick was injured on Sunday. I believe it was a hamstring injury.
Hamstring.
Against the Giants. Nick Foles came in, helped the Eagles get a W. Who's a better option for the Eagles when healthy, Nick Foles or Michael Vick?
By far, it's Michael Vick. For the simple fact that Michael Vick helps create different running lanes for LeSean McCoy when they try to run that that read option. Excuse me. Michael Vick changes the way that you run. You know, when you put in Nick Foles, you change the way you have to run this offense because from the standpoint that Nick Foles isn't going to run, so you know that when they're in that shotgun and they hand and he sticks the ball into LeSean McCoy's stomach, that it's either going to be a sweep, it's going to be an inside run, or it may be a counter. When it's Michael Vick, there's opportunity that he can pull the ball out and gash you for 70 yards. Because he ran for 100 yards, I believe, in the first quarter against the Giants.
Oh, he fried. They could stop him on a run.
Yeah, so, you know, with Nick Foles, you know, the wide receivers have to run more precise routes. because Nick Foles is a guy who's going to go through all of his progressions, all through his reads. When Michael Vick is a guy who's going to lock on predominantly to one receiver, his primary read, and try to get it to him. So I think Michael Vick is a far better option for this offense the way they want to run it, opposed to Nick Foles.
No, I agree. I think Michael Vick is a better option. I'm only phrasing this question because watching the Giants game, Jimmy Johnson came out and said like this team may be better with Nick Foles as the quarterback, and I kind of like scoffed at it. I was like, well, Michael Vick was putting up big numbers before Nick Foles came in the game. Looked like honestly that the Giants game could have been something like what happened to the Washington Redskins when we got in the first half they were about to put 30 on us. Then Michael Vick pulled that hamstring and he wasn't the same. Yeah, Nick Foles. With Nick Foles in the game, people won't be worried about the read option. They'll not be worried about LeSean McCoy. They're going to make sure they're going to stack on LeSean McCoy and try to take him away. And all they're going to do is double DeSean Jackson. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They won't fall for anything. They're going to try to make sure they key on DeSean Jackson and take away running lanes from Nick Foles and let people like Riley Cooper beat them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm just being honest. That's what's going to happen. Tampa's going to do that. Tampa's going to put Darrell Revis on DeSean Jackson, maybe give him help because still that's a fast dude with a guy who's coming off of a big knee injury. Let's go up DeSean Jackson and let Riley Cooper beat him, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to and Tampa, if my memory serves me correctly, they're bad against the run. They've been bad against the run for the last couple of seasons, but with help with they're actually good against the run. Let me take that back. They're good against the run the last couple of seasons. With that, say they stop LeSean McCoy, now it's putting all the pressure on Nick Foles, and you don't have that run option that you would have on Michael Vick. So that's the thing. Like, in my opinion, Michael Vick is valuable because he brings so much more. He makes the offense way more dynamic. And without that element of Michael Vick running and putting up big plays, the Eagles' offense isn't the same. And Chip Kelly knows it, and I think it'll be. For people like Jimmy Johnson and other people and other folks that think that Nick Foles is better than a guy, and I'm going to keep saying this, a guy who led his team to the NFC Championship game, a guy who went into Green Bay and gave the Packers their first loss. People act like this guy is a horrible quarterback. He's not. He's done good things in this league. And it's funny how when he struggles a little bit, it's like a guy like Nick Foles can be better than him. You get what I'm saying? Like, not a guy who's your franchise, but a guy like Nick Foles is better than him. And that's what annoys me. If it's any other quarterback, we don't have this discussion. A guy who has, to me, terrorized the league for a while. I mean, in terms of quarterback position. But a guy like Michael Vick, a guy like Nick Foles can replace him, I think it's funny.
All right, you mentioned quarterbacks who've been terrorizing the league. Let's talk about the Denver Broncos specifically, them as a team, and Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning has put up historical numbers during this first five games of the season. Yes. I believe 20 touchdowns, one interception. He's been on fire. That offense looks unstoppable.
Yeah, it is. And I want to say thank you, Peyton Manning. You don't probably listen to the show. It's okay. But thank you for what you did to the Dallas Cowboys. First thing first. I believe he had a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, he had one rushing. He had four passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, and one interception.
So that's 50? Does that count 50? Because they had 51, right?
They had
51. Yeah. 51-48.
Yeah.
So let me just do the math. Mm-hmm. All right. Seven times six is 42. Yeah, you're right. About three other field goals after that.
Yeah,
they had three field goals after that too.
Yeah,
jeez, they suck. Cowboys suck.
Yeah, Cowboys. During the second half, the Denver's offense didn't punt the ball.
Yeah, and you know what? And in my opinion, it could have been much worse. I think I felt like the Broncos felt like they had the game in hand, so they didn't try to go Peyton and keep the same pace. But no, let's go back to the original statement. This offense is unbelievable. I don't see any. It reminds me of the Patriots offense of Randy Moss, but it's different though. The big plays aren't as potent. Like the Patriots had more big plays because Randy Moss developed a big play. Don't get me wrong, Daenerys Thomas has big plays, but it's different. It's like Peyton Manning is methodical. It's like he's going down, like and he's like getting 10 yard passes. He'll take you give him 20, he'll go for 20. It's just different. The big plays aren't as frequent as with the Patriots, but he's still unstoppable. You can't stop him on a drive. It's like, it's amazing. And even you got No'Shawn Moreno looks better. He looks good. It's like No'Shawn from Georgia.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, as people in Washington saw with last year for the Washington Redskins football team, with Robert Griffin III, a good quarterback can mask a lot of your problems.
Yes.
When a quarterback is playing at a high level, it definitely masks a lot of your problems. You know, when you're driving the ball, when you're keeping the ball offensively and doing those long drives, you're keeping your defense off the field, getting them fresh. So I think what he, you know, not to say that Denver's defense is lacking. They do have a pretty good pass rush. But I think this team, you know, we're poised to see a lot of history from this team offensively.
Yeah.
And we may even, you know, Peyton Manning may even get the chance that eclipsed him in Indianapolis when they sat him that last game when they were 15-0.
Yeah.
This team may go 16-0. Only thing that I can see really stopping them, there are two things, injuries and the weather.
Yeah, that's true. The weather could stop them. And, you know, we'll rest on the defense. The defense is not that good, to be honest with you.
But remember, you know, after another game, they'll get their best player, Von Miller, back. And, you know, Champ Bailey, who's their best cover guy, he's been injured. And, you know, but he's on the downside of his career.
But still probably their best quarterback.
But he's still their best quarterback and very good cover and very intelligent.
Yeah, Champ Bailey still – probably downsized career, still better than most of the cornerbacks in the NFL, which, you know, isn't saying a lot. A lot of cornerbacks in the NFL are overrated. But Champ Bailey, you're going to get Champ Bailey, Von Miller back. This defense is going to be better. It's just a fact. It's going to get better. And can you imagine if Peyton Manning, if you get him Peyton Manning that many more stops, it's going to be something. It's going to be something special.
All right, but, you know, as – if you've been listening to the show since start of the football season, we have two segments. The first segment is three things we learned during the previous week, during week five. So, Wally, start us off.
All right, what I've learned during week five. See, the first thing I learned is that the Giants are officially done.
Okay.
They're done. They're just done. You lose to an Eagles team that's been struggling, and you give them at your house. Oh, yeah, you're done. And Tom Coughlin, your magic is not going to work this time.
Okay. First thing that I learned this week comes from the Indianapolis and Seattle Seahawks game. Russell Wilson specifically. If that team continues to play defense at the level that they did, and if the run game continues to produce with Russell Wilson, you'll have an opportunity to be in every game. Because if you saw the way that Russell Wilson composed himself during that last drive, even though he threw that interception to end the game, throwing across his body, I definitely think that they have something special with that guy. And if they can get, because most likely they're going to go either 7-1 or undefeated at home. If they can get maybe two or three more wins on the road, that's a team that will have home field advantage and will host the NFC Championship game.
I came from something from that same game. One, Luck is the best quarterback from last year's draft, bar none. All right? And this is going probably, you know, rub people the wrong way. I don't care. Andrew Luck's elite quarterback.
No. I mean, nothing to follow that up with.
He's elite quarterback. I think we've seen it. You know, this team is now 4-1. To me, probably they're the second best team in the AFC. You know, and honestly, they'll get better defensively because they'll get LeRon Landry back eventually on that other side of the ball. This team, to me, is primed to do special things, and Andrew Luck is elite.
Okay. The second thing I learned about during the NFL this past week, and it's about a fan base, specifically the fan base in Cleveland. Even though I know you all are passionate, you're one of the winner, but Cleveland fans, you're asses. Because when Brian Hoyer was injured and went out of the game and Brandon Whedon came in, and the way you booed him, even though, you know, his play during the first two games wasn't anything spectacular, but the way you booed him, the guy didn't do anything for him to just come into the game and come into that reception. Cleveland fans, you're asses.
last thing I learned about week five is Oakland fans, you should be happy. Terrell Pryor is your future quarterback. Don't worry about the NFL draft. Came to San when they played San Diego and got a W after he came back. The dude is your future. Do not draft a quarterback. Build, maybe give him a quarterback to work. I mean, a wide receiver to work with in the draft. But this dude is your future. One of the most improved quarterbacks I've seen in a long time.
I'm staying out on the West Coast, and this is Colin Kaepernick. You know, we talked about the previous weeks of how this team has gone back to the ground and pound, and they've been more effective. It may be that Colin Kaepernick may be just a game manager when he doesn't have the a good wide receiver like Crabtree.
Yeah.
As you've seen during the first couple of weeks, he's really struggled with kind of building a rapport with his wide receivers outside of Anquan Boldin and Vernon Davis. So it may be that one thing I learned that Colin Kaepernick may just be a game manager like Alex Smith was in the San Francisco offense.
That's tough. Okay, you call him a game manager. Okay, let's go to week six. And three things you need to know about week six. You go first.
Three things you think. First thing, Sunday Night Football, Robert Griffin III will resemble his old self. I think that he'll
Yes, fans will love that.
I think that he'll pass for somewhere around 275 yards and two touchdowns.
Okay. Any rushing yards?
No, because he refuses to run the ball.
He's on that McNabb stuff. All right, Raiders. I got one. This is with the Raiders. The Raiders will upset the Kansas City Chiefs and give them their first loss.
Ooh, that's a bold. That's a very bold.
It's not on the big games because the Raiders don't equal. You know, the record doesn't indicate that, and it's not a not a big enough rivalry in my opinion. But I believe that it's not like Raiders Broncos. But yeah, I think the Raiders will go in the Arrowhead and get a W.
This is for New England Patriots fans. New England Patriots fans, you will see your team struggle offensively for the second week in a row because you go against the vaunted Saints defense with Rob Ryan as a defense coordinator. Last week, Peyton Manning's streak of, I believe it was 54 games with a touchdown pass was broken against the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm saying two games in a row he'll go without a touchdown pass.
All right, here we go. The Broncos will not score 50 points. Against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They'll score 40.
Just 40?
Let's score 40.
And the third thing you should know going into is actually a piggyback off the game you just talked about. Third thing you should know going into week six is that Jacksonville Jaguars, for my gamblers, are historically the largest underdog ever in an NFL football game with 28 points.
I know. Folks think they're going to score 50 and more than that. Peyton Manning will stop. He'll call up the dogs.
Okay. 40,
that's what I'm saying. Last but not least, Matt Schaub, this is about it for you, man. If you don't play well in this game, are they playing? Is Houston playing this week?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'll go to my next thing. I can't give you a guarantee, but Matt Schaub, if you was playing, it's a wrap. If you don't play well, it's a wrap. But let me go with something more definite for me. Tampa Bay, you will get your W, and you'll get it against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
In a sloppy, ugly game. And then people will stop talking about Nick Foles as an option.
Okay. Well, we just gave, three things we learned about week five, three things you should know going into week six. Let's pick these games.
Yeah, okay. The record so far, Will – is 9-3. He went 2-2 last week.
Yeah, I had an off week.
Oh, 1-3. I think 1-3.
Two and two.
Yeah, we went 2-2. I came back strong. You know what I mean? Cause I'm a strong dude. 8-4. I went 3-1. I don't know why I picked Houston to beat San Francisco. So stupid. I thought about that after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, but if you've been listening to me, then you've already saved up for your Christmas money, so you're good. now I'm going for your for your family vacation for the summer for the rest
of
the season.
Real quick, man. Packers versus Ravens in Baltimore, Charm City.
I am taking the Ravens.
Okay, we're agreeing. I'm taking the Ravens too. No Clay Matthews. I think that's going to help. That's going to be beneficial for the Ravens. Saints versus Patriots.
Saints.
This game is in New England. I don't believe it. Gronk is coming back. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I'm going to go with Brady.
Pick.
Gronk's coming back. I think the Patriots the Saints get their first loss. They, Redskins versus Dallas.
Go.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
You know who I'm going with, man. HTTR, hail to the Redskins, baby. Let's go.
Okay, I guess we on the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm going with Dallas.
That's cool, man. Hey, you jerk. Colts and the final, but finally, Colts versus the Chargers.
Colts have established themselves these past two games as being extremely physical with two of the more ground and pound teams in the NFL. I am going with the Colts.
must win for the Chargers. They want to do anything special. Phillip Rivers is having an awesome season. Coach has shown a lot of toughness, like Will said, but I'm going to go with the Chargers. It's a home game, and it's a game for Phillip Rivers to prove himself. And this is on Monday Night Football to show the world that, you know, he's an elite quarterback again. Had a bad – again, they didn't play well against the Raiders, but this is an opportunity to do it. I think he played well. I think he threw, like, for 400 yards or something. Yeah. But against the this is a game, you know, this is one of the best teams in the AFC. This is a game to prove yourself.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you all for listening to the live edition of the Urban Sports Scene. It's been real. You know, this is the government shutdown special edition.
Yeah, it's been great. Will T has done a great job.
Wally Ola has done a great job.
Good. Pat yourself on the back. I pat myself on the back, too, as well. I'm an awesome individual. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Will. Good job.
Yes.
But like Will said, man, I appreciate y'all listening to the show. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys are the reason. I know I say this every week. I know I might sound redundant and sound corny, but you guys are the reason we do this show. We started out doing this show because we just wanted to give, you know, basic sports fans like ourselves a platform to talk about sports, and, you know, and also interactively through Twitter and Facebook and emails, you know, we want to hear your opinions too and incorporate that into a show.
We've done it. So it's been good, man. It's been cool. 159
shows, man. We veterans now, man.
We vets, man.
Not only are we vets, we're the superstars. We're the flagship show of this station that we're on.
Israel Network. Who would have thunk it?
Exactly. Franchise players. But if you want to get, if you want to check out the show, just check us out on Eyes Radio Network, www.eyesradio.com. To listen to the show, visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions, just email Wally at urbansports@eyesradio.com.
Well, it's Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. We out.
Deuces!